Yeah, good. Woohoo! Week two, getting ready for Christmas. Come to worship. Come to worship. Here's the goal of the series. I know Christmas is coming. My hope is that your heart will expand. Like, imagine your heart expanding as you come to offer yourself to Jesus. We are coming to worship, not coming to get something, coming to give, coming to worship. Last week, we talked about lift your heads. You're like, oh man, that was last week. Are we still doing that? Yeah, so come on, this is surrender. Like, you just got arrested, like bam, like hands up, like surrender, right? This is surrender. And this, like, look, I'm not changing a whole lot. I go from this to like this. This is surrender. This is victory, right? We got victory in God. We got surrender where we're like, man, I can't do this on my own. And like, shabam, like victory, right? It goes together. So lift your hands. Say it with me. Lift your hands. Okay. So it's okay to do that when we sing. And if it freaks you out, just close your eyes. Like, nobody can see you. It's fine. Just put your hands up. It's you and God anyway, right? It's like you and God. We got lights, but we don't got that many lights. It'll be even darker, like, as maybe Christmas Eve it'll be super dark, but just the idea of like surrendering and like victory, both those things, like lift your hands. Today, you're going to be like, I remember last week I said like, but before the day's over, I want everyone lifting your hands. Well, guess what today is? Bring our gifts. Bring our gifts. So come on, say it with me. Bring our gifts. So guess what I want you to do today? Bring our gifts. And so we're actually going to give a little bit of time, and I want to give you a heads up, so don't freak out about this, but sometimes, and I'm not this guy, like, I don't have cash anymore. Like, I'm the guy that's like, I got a big heart, I just don't have any money to give. Like, I don't have that with me right now. I can't give you anything. Maybe you got some jingle in your pocket, maybe you got some change, maybe your spouse does. This would be the time for you to reach over and start grabbing some cash out of that purse. But before the day's over, and we have another way called text to give, I want to challenge you guys to bring our gifts. Say it with me. Bring our gifts. So I love the wise men. Now we're kind of using these guys to launch us, the wise men to launch us into the Christmas story. Where is the one? This is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him." So who are they asking this question to? You know what, I guess two things I want to make sure we don't miss this morning is these guys have been on the road for a while. Like, they say it's about 900 miles from where they're traveling, like from the east moving to the west. If you go at that 900 miles east of the Middle East, you end up in Persia and close to where Iran is at. So Iran. So imagine these guys walking all this way to get to this place. And when they finally get to Jerusalem, they ask a question. Excuse me. Do you guys have any idea? Well, like 900 miles will almost get you to San Diego. Almost, not quite, but it gets you close. Like, you might could almost see it from 900 miles. And imagine doing that without your car, without Alaska Air, just with your legs. And you'd be like, that would be a haul. Yes, it would. So imagine these guys following this star 900 miles to get to this place. And so they end up in Jerusalem, and there's a guy named King Herod who's king of Jerusalem. Well, not just king, but king of this area of the Roman Empire, and he has oversight of it. And so they naturally think, well, we'll ask this king about the coming king. The problem with King Herod is he's not super excited about any rival king that could be on the horizon. What we know about King Herod is that he's been married 9 times, some physical lust, mostly political maneuvering. He actually took out some of his own family members to be king. He's cruel, he's crafty, and he's not excited when these guys ask the question about the king. Herod says to them, hey, I want to worship the same king that you guys are going to go worship. So when you find him, come back and let me know where he is. So we pick this thing up in verse 9 of Matthew 2. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, this next verse is the one I want to spend a little time with you. When they saw the star, they were what? Overjoyed. So when you read the Bible, you guys, there's a lot of translations. You guys, we got a lot of translations of the Bible. It doesn't mean we have a lot of Bibles. What we have is like one manuscript, and then people try to read these words and bring them to life in their everyday language, and language changes, so translations come and go. They have a hard time with the word overjoyed. They just give us one shot. Like they're like, hey, we don't know what to say. They were super excited. They were all jacked up. Kind of like you would be after 900 miles of walking and you're finally there. You know what I'm saying? You're like overjoyed. One translation says this. They rejoiced. Look at this. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's like, in case you missed it, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Well, of course they had great joy. They were rejoicing. I know, but that's the difficulty. Like, we miss it. And so I was like, how in the world can we demonstrate? Like, how do these guys feel? And they had this little gift from a playoff game, the Stanley Cup. I got any hockey fans? This is from 2000. Yeah, back row. But check this out. Wait for it. Shabam! Like, it just hits the fan. Like, wait. Ba-ba-bam! Like, that is, like, overjoyed. Like, wait. Yeah, just keep it going. Wait. Shabam! Now look at these guys. You'll notice what's one thing they do. Lift your hands. Oh, we got that down. Bam! And I know that the wise men showed up, and they kind of bowed their knees, and they went before. Yeah, keep showing us. They bowed their knees. But I got to think that when the guy's like peeking around, he's like, we got a baby. Shabam. Like, woo. Like, is it? Yeah, this is it. We found him. He's in the stable. Weird, but we found him. I don't know how else to tell you guys. It's big. It is overarching joy. Okay, good. Yeah, you're good. One of the problems, I think, with Christians today is sometimes we're underjoyed. You know what I'm saying? And we were just praying before the service today that Christmas is hard. And I get this. If your life is great, Christmas makes it even better. But if your life is hard, Christmas can make it even harder. And this is one of those moments when suicide rate is highest all year. Like, this is the season for that. You guys may have some friends under the radar. They're not feeling so good, but over they got the happy face because they're supposed to. But I feel like as people of faith, like there's this thing, like there's this joy, like there's this, they are over, we have this thing with overjoy that can far exceed anything that you and I come around. And there's just too many of us, I think, who let stuff get to us. And it's like, well, come on, let's not be underjoyed. Like, I'm not mad. I have a resting mad face. My face is just resting mad. It's not my fault. Well, yeah, well, tell your brain to tell your face to smile. Like, it's okay. Like, why would you smile? Well, because God sent his son to die for my sin. Like, that's one reason why I can smile. Oh, wait, I'm a follower of Jesus. Oh, wait, no matter how bad life gets, like, I don't have to be underjoyed and under the heavy cloud that can so easily get us down. I've got God with me. Like, when? Like, all the time. Like, where? Like, everywhere. Like, God is all present all the time. I mean, he's always with you. Like, overjoy is a part of the story. Like, woo! Wait for it. Ah! Like, what happened? Jesus was born. Like, you're not going to believe this. Like, Jesus was born. Ah! Right? Like, what if it was like, wait for it. Ah! You're like, are you done? No, I'm not. Overjoyed. You guys ready for verse 11? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. And then check this out. What do you do when you're overjoyed? They opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We're going to cover the bow down thing later in the series. But I love that Matthew tells us that when these guys are overjoyed, I mean, there's a moment when you're just like, ah! And then you want to present. You want to give something. They've been wrestling out what these three things mean: gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold is king stuff. Frankincense, they kind of pin on the priest. The priest used frankincense. And myrrh, believe it or not, you know how Jesus is born, right? It's his birth. Myrrh is something that they used to prepare bodies for burial. And they think that helps us see that Jesus was born to die. like he's our Savior. So you have a king, priest, and Savior all present in these gifts. So they came to present their gifts. And this morning, we've talked about lifting our hands, right? I want you to start to see that that's just like a knee jerk. Like, man, when you see something awesome, like, you can't keep your hands from going up. It's like, ah! Like tonight at 5:20, when we beat the Rams, what are your hands going to do? Like, they're probably going to go up, and you can just Instagram it and be like, shabam, worshiping Seahawks. No, you're not worshiping the Seahawks, but you're like, this is good, right? And I worship God and thank God for the Seahawks, and it's all good, right? God and the Seahawks. You know what? I love God if they win or lose. It's okay. God is still good. Yeah. I want you to believe like never before that giving to God is an act of worship. I want you to believe like never before that giving to God is an act of worship. It's one thing to say it, it's one thing to sing it, and we can say it and we can sing it, but when you present that gift to God, it is an act of worship. Now, some of you are like, good night, I have walked into church and he's asking for money. I have walked into church for Christmas and this guy is doing a talk on giving. Like, why did I visit this church today? Why did you bring your friend to church on this day? Well, I didn't tell you I was going to talk about this for one. That's why you did. You didn't know it was coming. And I think I used to be there. There was a day when I would have told you that if you talk about giving, you can turn people away. When you talk about giving, you can offend people. When you talk about giving, you can put people off. And that was me maybe 15 years ago. And being here 18, there's something that changed in me. And even social scientists would tell you guys that when you give, like there's something inside you, like the makeup of stuff in your body changes when you give. Like things are better when you give. We are designed to give. And it's exciting to give. Now, I can always tell the givers, because at this point in the message, you're like, preach it, brother. Preach it. Preach it, brother. And I can tell those who maybe aren't so excited because you're looking for the exit, and they're right there, right there. But, you know, everybody can see. So we got that, right? What I want to do, honestly, is, you know, my hope is over the next 20 minutes, imagine the Spirit of God working in you. And if you have, giving's been a part of what you do before you walked in here, I pray that the Spirit of God would just continue and encourage and just enlarge the generosity. And maybe if you walked in here and you haven't been giving up to this point, my prayer is that with the Spirit of God in you, you will begin to love to give. Begin to love to give. Like see yourself beginning to love to give. Bring our gifts. Come on. Bring our gifts. Good. Look forward to it. Think about it. Plan. Be strategic. Be overjoyed. We give to God. God gave everything. So why should it be this way? Like, why do pastors always talk about giving? When you love, you give. So my wife and I have been doing this thing. It's maybe 5 years now. I'm not sure she knows that I know, but I know that I know, and she'll know now. This is how we do it. So we do this thing, and it happens like in November, and I'm not sure exactly why, but we do this thing where, hey, we don't really need to get each other stuff this Christmas. Like we can, if you give me anything, just like keep it small. You know what I'm saying? Like let's not get anything big, and we sort of shake on it, but we don't really shake because we're married. We just kind of like, what? It's weird to shake hands with your spouse, right? Try it. You'll see what I mean. It just feels weird. So anyway, yeah, see that? So we kind of shook on it. And then here's what the expectation is. The expectation is she told me that she wouldn't get me anything cool. So then I feel like I have permission to get her something cool because she's not going to get me anything cool. Like I got more money to work with. And what she hears me say is, I'm not going to get you anything. So she feels like she's got a green light to get me something cool because I said I wouldn't get her anything. And then this thing happens at Christmas, and she gives me like a real gift, and I get her like a real gift. And she's like, why did you give me that? You said you weren't going to give me anything. I said, well, I got you that because you said you weren't going to give me anything. We had this little 3-second fight, and then we liked the gifts that we got each other. Like, we've been doing that for like 5 years, right? It's like we sort of talk ourselves out, and that's how it happens. Yeah. Well, it's different this year. Just a heads up. Just kidding. But When you love somebody, right? It's like you give them something. How many of you had a boyfriend and a girlfriend or a girlfriend and you broke up before Valentine's Day? For one reason. One reason. Because you knew it wasn't going anywhere. And why would I waste my money on a gift if it doesn't have a future, right? I'm just saying, nobody else did this? Man, like February, the first week, it's breakup week. Because why? I don't want to spend money on you. What? All right. Bring our gifts. Come on. Bring our gifts. There's something about it. It's an act of worship. When you and I do this, it's a way that we can demonstrate our love. When God says, come to worship, right? Like, come to worship is your hands, is surrender, it's this. And another really important way, not the only way, but another important way is bringing our gifts. For God so loved the world that he gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. No, he didn't do that. When God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We love because we have been loved. It's how this thing works out. God demonstrates his own love for us, Romans 5:8, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, God could have said, hey, I want to demonstrate my love. Hey, love you! Love you! Can you guys hear me? Heaven's up, love you, right? He could have just said it. Like, why not just say it? Like, why couldn't God have just said, I love you? He demonstrated his love for us so that we wouldn't miss it. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. How many times do we come back to God and we say, I love you with our words, but we don't bring our gifts? When you love somebody, overjoyed. Think about a time when you were overjoyed to give somebody a gift. Like, overjoyed. Like, oh man, like, I can't wait. Like, almost like those fans. Like, you're like, I can't wait till they open this. Like, this is going to be so good. You're trying to play it cool, but you're just like, ah, they don't see this coming. This is going to be so good. And they like get together, like, ah! And you're like freaking out because it's awesome. No? Okay. Well, you should do that sometime. So there was a season at church when the music that we had up front was done by all volunteers. Like, nobody was paid to do it. And this is a thing. Like, I don't mind people volunteering, but this is a huge responsibility. Hours and hours, days, a couple days each week. And it's a thing to keep going. The commitment of being up front at a 9 service, at the 11 service, it's a thing. There was a day when we had volunteers doing this at church. And so we hired this kid. And I say he was a kid because I called the guy and the guy's like, I don't do that anymore, but I got a guy that works for me and I really like him. I think he's got a good voice and he plays the guitar and he works hard. Like, he's been cleaning the inside of the garbage can. Like, this is a good dude. Like, I wouldn't let him work for me if I were you. So that's how I met Daniel Collins. Anybody here remember Daniel Collins? Yeah. Recommendation that he clean the inside of a garbage can. Like, that's what did it. Like, that's how this guy got this job. Can he sing? I don't care, man. He scrubs inside the garbage cans. He's my dude. I want this guy. So we hired Daniel, and then guess what happened? Like, the church finances went through a tight spot. Like, it was tight, it was rocky, it was shaking. We had to cut everything that was extra. And when you've done music for a while, and then you hire a music guy for $100 a week, and then you can't pay the bills, the first thing you cut off is the last thing that you added. And it was a really difficult conversation. And this was coming into Christmas, when music ramps up, when Christmas songs get harder. And I actually sat down with Daniel. We used to meet once a week and just pray and encourage and read together. And I said, buddy, I got some bad news. And I said, look, you've been doing a great job. We love you. We just can't pay you. And I want you to know that I'll give you a great recommendation wherever you end up going. But thanks so much for being here. I'll never forget that he said, well, do you think maybe I could still do it? I was like, what? He's like, would you let me still lead? He's like, you don't have to pay me. I just want to do it. He's like, I'm learning. I'm growing. I feel like God's called me there. I'll still lead for you guys. And this is like November, December. Like, this is crazy town. Like, this is the week of worship, the season when the church is crazy. And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, you can. After I like finished fixing myself, I was like, yeah, man, you can lead. Like, that'd be great for free. Like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. And he led us through that season. Nobody even knew that we weren't paying him, and we weren't paying him. And then we got to the point where we could pay him. Like, we got to that special moment. One of my favorite moments in ministry is when I got to sit down with Daniel, and I had this thing. Like, you may not remember this, but in September 2007, you know what happened? iPhone. The iPhone 1 came out. This was in 2007. Daniel's 18 years old. All he's been talking about is the iPhone. Like, blah, 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 iPhone. Change the world, blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever. We're, like, loving the flip phone, right? Like, we're all old at church, a little bit behind the times, loving our flip phone. This guy won't shut up about the iPhone. And so, as a leadership, we said, what can we do to show this guy that we are so grateful for what he did for us? So we got him an iPhone, and I wrapped it all up in this cool thing, and it was like Christmas Eve, and I was like, Daniel, I got this gift for you. And here, and I was just back there. I was just like, well, I was like, I didn't see this coming. This guy didn't see this coming. He didn't see it coming. I was so excited. And he took the bag out, and he's like, he doesn't, because, it was the first one. Like, we're not used to how they're wrapped now, but at the time, he didn't know. And then he opened up. He like looked down. He looks at me. He looks down. Looks at me. He looks. He's like, no way. I'm like, bro, it's an iPhone. He's like, well, I can't believe you got me an iPhone. And I'm like, and we're also going to start paying you. And he was super excited. I have never been like one of my most overjoyed moments. Why? Because, man, when you get an 18-year-old kid who sacrifices, who's selfless, who gives himself up, who puts others first, like, man, how do I say thank you to that? I couldn't wait to bring a gift. And I think you and I got that same thing inside us. Love gives. Bring our gifts. Say it with me. Bring our gifts. Good. And as I talk about this, you might have this thing going through your head that I love God, but giving is hard. Like, I love God, but giving is hard. I love God, but giving is hard. I understand that. And you might be like, I'm afraid, I'm hesitant, I'm reluctant to give. I love this little passage in Proverbs 3. This is a pretty popular chunk of scripture. I just want to read through this with you guys. It goes like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. You guys recognize that one? So here's verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This kind of tips its hat to the idea that sometimes it won't match up. Like, sometimes the numbers won't add up. Like, there will be this moment when you're like, if I give, my bills could be in jeopardy. Like, I don't know. Like, the numbers, the math, it's not right. When I run the numbers, things get crazy. And there's this thing with God that God's ways are higher than my ways. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. Look at the promise in verse 8. This will bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. So the song, the writer of Proverbs is getting us ready. He's like, trust God, trust God, trust God. Lean not on your own understanding. Good for your body, nourishment to your bones. And then check out verse 9. He lays this out. Honor the Lord with your wealth. After doing all this stuff about you can trust God with everything in your life, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops. Now, when you honor the Lord, you worship the Lord. When you honor the Lord, you adore the Lord. You praise the Lord with your what? Like, what are you praising the Lord with? How do you worship God with your what? Wealth. Like, wealth. Like, your wealth is an act of worship. Isn't that crazy? Like, we can lift our hands and we can bring our gifts. Say it with me. Bring our gifts. Come on, say it with me. Bring our gifts. Like, it's an act of worship. Like the song, it's your wealth. Worship God with your wealth, with what you have. It's not every way, but it's one way, and it's a very important way. Now, at Lake Taps, we talk about 10%, and we talk more about this. If you want to join the church, we talk about that expectation of the tithe of it being 10%. And a lot of people are like, man, there's no way to do that. And I'm like, I get it. There's no way to do that. And then you know what I say to them? Let's go back and read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Like, not just the ones that make sense. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. I love to say it this way. Bring our first and best. Trust God to bless the rest. You guys like that? Yeah, that's kind of cute. That's cute, Pastor. Bring God your first and best and trust God with all the rest. And the givers in the room, here's what you guys know. You know that 90% with God, because you're giving that 10% away, 90% with God is better than 100% without God's blessing. Like when you got 90% and God helping direct your steps, it goes farther than that 100% without it. There's something supernatural. That's all I can tell you guys. It's something supernatural. Like when we bring our gifts, and just like when you raise your hands, and I'm telling you guys, well, you can't force me to raise. You're right, I can't. But Toronto Maple Leaf fans, ain't nobody forcing nobody. Like, they're just doing it, right? Like, there's something supernatural about just surrendering yourself to God. And the same thing happens with your gifts. When you give your gift a supernatural, like you're just saying to God, God, I give you every part of my life. And that's one reason why I think it can be so hard. And you might be like, well, fine, I'll give 10%. I'm going to go out and buy that new Kanye West album. Shabam! Jesus is King. I'll put 10% to that, and maybe I'll get some tickets for King and Country. They're pretty good. You guys been to King and Country? Did you guys know that right now you can book a trip with Mercy Me? Caribbean Cruise. Leaves January 11th through the 18th. One whole week with some sweet music. You're like, isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Like, give my tithe to the Lord. I'll buy me some cool Christian stuff. Give me a leather-bound Bible. Give me a big old cross. Give me a decal for my car. Like, I'll start tithing to the Lord. Hold on, cowboy. Like, here's the deal. It's not just buying stuff. It's when you give stuff, when you give to the Lord. And I know I'm a pastor, but I believed this before I was a pastor, that 10% comes to the local church, and then God will bless you, and that giving over and above will start to flow out. And Carrie and I enjoy doing that in a lot of different ways. So give it to your church. I remember my first significant tithe. I've been working all summer, and I was with this place that paid you at the end of the gig. And so I'd made $15,000 back in 1992. It was 15 grand, and I was 22 years old. And when you get 15 grand, what's 10% of that? Time's up, $1,500. Did you guys know that? Okay, good. 15, it's take off a zero. God makes it so easy, take off a zero, and then give that. That's what you do. So you take off a digit. So $1,500, and it's like in that moment, and you're like, man, a 22-year-old kid with $1,500, like, are you sure you want to give that away? And I'm telling you guys, it was a moment, like a turning moment, and I remember it. Like if you were to say, what's a pivotal moment in your life? And I would tell you that in my journey with God, and I know I gave here, but I didn't make a whole lot until that point. And then when you start giving, you're like, man, am I walking the walk? Am I talking the talk? Like, what am I doing? And in that moment, I've never felt more conviction that I'm all in. The thrill of saying, God, here's me. Like, here's me doing exactly what you asked me to do. Put my money with my mouth is trusting God. And you might be like, well, man, like, you know how God says that he'll bless you once you give to him. Do you feel like God has blessed you? Well, so that was September of 92. Maybe it was 93. You know, I'm getting old. October, I proposed to Carrie Wilhite. Yeah. We've been married 26 years. You think that's worth $1,500? Maybe. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Well, if she's up here, honey, take her down. Take her down. You can take her. You can take her. So here's what I want you to know, that when you say 90% with God is better than 100% without God's blessing, like when I say, okay, God, here's $1,500, I'm all in with you, I expect God to direct my steps and help me do stuff I shouldn't be doing because I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Your ways are higher than my ways, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I'm not smart enough to see what I got in my wife, amen? Like at 22, do I really realize what I have? No? Are you kidding? Like what's a 22-year-old guy thinking about? Well, more than that, but you know what I'm saying? Like... And so I've been blessed like 26 years. That same year, we decided to go to graduate school. which changes the direction, the course of my whole life. When we traveled to Tennessee, they're like, man, you can't afford it. It's out-of-state tuition. When we got all the way there, they said, we're going to waive your out-of-state tuition. When we got there, we were broke, and we were able to take care of a hospitality house, and we got housing rent-free for 3 years. You think that's worth $1,500? And I'm just saying, all that happened after the fact. And God wants to move in your life in ways that you just can't figure out on your own. And that's why part of coming to worship, bringing our gifts. I want to invite the band to come up. Come on up, band. So here's what I want to do, you guys. I want to give you an opportunity to give. If you've never given before, I want this to be the moment. You can say, hey, look, it was December 8, 2019. I didn't even know I was going to do that when I walked in there, but I gave my first gift. Like, I just gave a first gift. And maybe it's the change in your pocket. Maybe it's a dollar in your wallet. But we also got this thing called Show 'em Text to Give. Like, we got this thing. And you can just put LTCC to text it to 77977. And it'll shoot something back to you, and you can just give a dollar. Like, don't like give, like, I mean, give what God leads you to give, but you know what I'm saying? It doesn't take much to give. Like, just give something. Bring our gifts. Say it with me. Bring our gifts.
Thank you for listening to the Lake Taps podcast. I hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. I pray that you would invite God to do the work in your heart that only He can do. I also want to invite you to become part of our Lake Taps family. Download our app, connect to our community, and give. Become an investor in growing God's kingdom.